Luke chapter 8, if we can turn there tonight, Luke chapter 8. And we want to complete the study of this chapter tonight. That'll start in verse 40 and then down to the end of the chapter, verse 56. So Luke chapter 8. Verse 40 through 56, and tonight let's read the verses together, shall we? Luke chapter 8, verse 40 down through to 56. So starting there in verse 40, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Amen. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this privilege to meet together tonight. And thank you for the singing, Lord. We do praise you, Lord, that great day when, as we've sung tonight, Lord, all the things of this earth that have caused us all the problems and everything else, Lord, will all be behind us. And we shall see the Lord, we shall be like him, and shall be with him forever. But, Lord, in the meantime, we have a life to live here and a battle to fight, and we're thankful, though, Lord, that we have a God who knows all these things and is all-powerful, all-knowing. And, Lord, nothing that you can't deal with, as we see again tonight in this passage. And Father, we want to give you the praise and ask your blessing upon us now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in verse 40, they've come back from Gadara. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Remember, he'd gone out and the disciples and went through all the situation there, and they came across the maniac of Gadara, as we call him. He was healed and all was good. And but the crowd had said, "No, get away from me, we don't want you." So he went back. The Bible says when he got there, the people were all waiting for him. And in verse 41, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house." And Jairus, he was a ruler of the synagogue. Now, he was an important man. And just to give you some thoughts about that, Wiest said this: "As a ruler of a synagogue," and there was often more than one ruler in the synagogue, "the duties of Jairus would be to select the readers or teachers in the synagogue, to examine the discourses of the public speakers, and to see that all things were done with decency and in accordance with ancestral usage." So it was an important position, especially being a Jew in an important position, and how the general trend was, you wouldn't normally expect him to come to the Lord, would you? He's far too important for that. But nevertheless, that's what he's done. He's got a serious problem on his hands, and that brought him to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I've seen that over the years, where sometimes it takes a serious problem to get people to come to the Lord. Not always, of course. Sometimes people just get bitter and twisted. "Well, if there's a God, how come he let that happen?" So you've got that side of it as well. But there are times when God uses some serious trial or test to cause people to turn to the Lord and come to him for help, either for salvation or even just help in their walk with the Lord. And this account is covered in Matthew 9 and Mark chapter 5, and we'll touch on some of those verses as we go. But certainly it's unlikely, you would think, for this man Jairus to come to the Lord. But now he's faced with a serious problem. And notice how he approaches him. He was a ruler, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. Matthew said he fell down and worshipped him. Imagine that for a ruler of the synagogue. Imagine the humbling that would be to come to the Lord in front of the whole crowd and get down on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus. That would take some doing, wouldn't it, humanly speaking? But when someone comes with an attitude like that, they can expect the Lord to do something, amen? Because the Bible tells that God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. And here's this man, he was anything but proud at this point. I mean, he comes and he's down there at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He worshipped him. And you know what it reminds me again? That the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. You don't find the Lord Jesus saying, "Excuse me, Jairus, get up, you shouldn't worship me. I'm just a man." No, you don't find that, do you? In other occasions when people fell down to worship, he always received that worship. Why? Because he's the Son of God. He is God. He is the Son of God. And so Jairus gives him this reverence, this honour. And the Bible says there that he besought him. He besought him. In other words, he was very serious about his request. Lord, you have to come. You have to come to my place. A serious request. Besought him. Have a look in Mark chapter 5 and see how Mark expresses it in Mark chapter 5. And verse 23, and the Bible says, "And he besought him greatly, 'My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live.' And Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him." He besought him greatly. I mean, he's got a serious burden on his heart. His 12-year-old daughter, his only child, his only daughter, and she is lying at the point of death. He's got a serious problem to bring before the Lord. Praise the Lord, he did bring it before the Lord, amen. It's interesting, isn't it, when you think about it, where here in Mark, what does he say? I'd like you to, what? Well, I'd like you to come and lay hands on her so that she can be healed. It's interesting, we looked at the centurion recently, and what did the centurion say? "Just speak and she'll be all good. My servant will be okay." And some would say, well, the centurion had greater faith. Maybe. The Lord certainly did commend him and say that he had great faith. Just speak. But I would suggest that this Jairus, he had some faith as well. He says, "Listen, can you come and lay hands on my daughter so that she can be healed and live? So I don't want her to die. I want you to come, please, and heal her." And so he's expressed his faith, maybe in a slightly different way. But then again, we are all different, aren't we? Not everybody's the same. We don't all approach the Lord in exactly the same way. Lord, just speak and I know you'll do it. Now, there's a truth there. But just because Jairus says, well, you know, can you please come and lay hands on her so she can be healed? The Lord doesn't say, oh, well, you know, that's pretty pathetic, you know. Go and talk to the centurion and find out what he did. No. He receives him. Because why? He came in faith. It might not have been the same sort of just speak and it's done kind of faith, as it were. But he still came in faith. You see, it's not so much the size of our faith that matters, is it? It's the size of our God. And we might only have a little faith, like the seed of a mustard seed, that a grain of a mustard seed, that size. But if we'll come with that little bit, God will honour it. Amen? Don't think I've got to have this great faith. No. We just need to come childlike faith. Lord, please come. My only daughter, she's 12 and she could die. Could you please come and lay your hands on her so she'll be healed? That's okay. That's fine. It was great faith the centurion had in that sense. Just speak. But we notice the Lord answered both their prayers. Amen. So you think tonight, I just feel like I've only got a little bit of faith. That's okay. As long as that little bit of faith is in God. See, that's the important thing. It's not how much faith we've got, it's how great God is. And if that little bit of faith is in a great God, it's all taken care of. He'll take care of that. Expressed in different ways, isn't it? So back in Luke, well, what happens? He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him he would come in his house. If he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. So the Lord obviously said, yeah, not a problem, we'll come down and see you. But now the crowd there and is thronging him. It's hard to picture, but I could just sort of in my mind see it now. The Lord's trying to walk along and all these people are crowding in on him. Why? Because they want healings, they want this and they want that, and they want everything else. And so they're thronging him. Well, what happens there? A woman, verse 43, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. Just think about it. This could have been a bit of a challenge for Jairus, couldn't it? He's come to the Lord, he's requested, and now all of a sudden, things are interrupted. Ever find that? Things are going good, and then there's an interruption. Hang on. What's going on here, Lord? Just a little interruption. It's okay. I'll take care of that. It could have been a challenge for him. But how would we respond in that kind of a situation? Yep, the Lord's answered my prayer. It's all good. Hang on, what's this all about? Well, that's all right. God's allowed that. He hasn't forgotten your prayer. He hasn't forgotten to answer. There's just a little interruption here on the side that he has to deal with that. How do we respond? Well, we'll have a look back in Mark again for a moment and see what Mark has to say about it. Verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. I mean, she's in trouble. For 12 years she's had this issue of blood. She's been to all the doctors. She's paid all her money. She's got nothing left. And all they've done is made things worse for her. That's a help, isn't it? I put an exclamation mark, a hopeless case. Hopeless case. She spent all the money, all the doctors, can't do anything, it's only gotten worse. Hopeless. Where do you go when you're hopeless? Go to see the Lord, amen? That's the place to go. Oh my. Yeah, but I need to go to the doctors. Yeah, there may be a place for that. But go to the Lord first, amen? Go to the Lord first. Yeah, but you know, I need to... No. Go to the Lord first. Now, this lady, she didn't have that opportunity prior to this, obviously, but now she has the opportunity. She goes to the right one. the one who can help her. You think about this too, this lady would have been an outcast in her day. We won't take time to look there, but you can look in Leviticus 15 sometime and you find out that this woman under the law was unclean and defiled and was to be separate from society. It'd be a challenge, wouldn't it? Here she is. She believes that the Lord Jesus can heal her. How's she going to be able to do that? How's she going to be able to get to him? Because she's an outcast. She's defiled. She's unclean. Maybe it gives a little insight that perhaps she had fairly great faith as well. Amen. She could have said, well, I'd really like to see Jesus, but she's a bit crowded there. No. She said, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. I believe that he is so great, he is so powerful, I've only got to touch the hem of his garment and I'll be healed. Oh, she was an outcast and she was defiled and unclean, but again, she knew where to go. And what does the Bible say there? She came up behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched or stopped. Immediately. Imagine that. Imagine that. You wonder what she might have thought. Well, one reason I think the Bible says she came up behind the Lord. Why? Because she was unclean and defiled. She was possibly thinking he maybe, especially in public, won't want to sort of be too involved because, you know, I'm not, yeah, whatever she's thinking. We don't know. But so she comes up behind and touches the hem of his garment. And immediately it was stopped. Amazing. And then what happens? Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and said, who touched me? Notice Peter gets his name mentioned here again. Lord, what are you talking about? Who touched you? Lord, they're all touching. They're all pushing and shoving and thronging around. What do you mean someone's touched you? What are you talking about? Peter, stop before you say anything else. We know you've got foot and mouth disease. Put your hand over your mouth for a moment before you say anything else. Make yourself looking even more stupid. Be quiet, please. Oh, Peter, think about it. Didn't you acknowledge, aren't you the one who said this is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Don't you think he knows everything? Why would you ask such a stupid question with that sort of knowledge? Who touched me? What do you mean, who touched you, Lord? What are you talking about? I like Peter. He's very human, isn't he? You follow his story through the gospel accounts and oh my, he said some funny things sometimes. But on this occasion, he's showing his ignorance, or at least his sort of off-the-cuff comments that he makes. Who touched me? Well, how does the Lord respond? Jesus said, somebody's touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. The Lord said, listen, I know, Peter, that someone has touched me. Because that touch was a touch of faith. And someone has been, he didn't say these words necessarily, but someone's been healed as a result of it. I know that. Peter, think about it. I know that. I know that's the case. Remember, like we were saying this morning there in Revelation, Lord says, I know. I know. I know all about everything, about everyone. Peter, forget about it. I know. I know you can't do something that I don't know. You can't think something that I don't know. You can't speak something that I don't know. Peter, think about it. I know. I know somebody has touched me and I know that someone has been healed. Who touched me? You say, well, if the Lord knew that, why did he ask that question? Well, because he wanted to bless this lady in an even greater blessing that she's already enjoyed. So what happens in verse 47? The Bible says he looked around. Have a look again in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and see what Mark writes. Verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? Notice what it says. And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. You just picture in your mind, here it is, and this lady snuck up behind and just quickly reached out and touched him. She's immediately healed. So in the crowd, she wouldn't look any different now, would she? She's all fine. Who touched me? And the Lord's looking around, and I would suggest they just happened to glance at her a little bit. Who touched me? Who touched me? You say, why do you say that? Well, when the woman saw that she was not hid, she goes, uh-oh, he knows. He knows. He's looking around. Oh, he knows. He knows. Now she has to humble herself, doesn't she? This is going to take a little bit of humbling because she's the defiled, unclean person that shouldn't even be there. And so what happens? When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Imagine that. Wouldn't that have been a blessing to be there and to watch that and to hear that? He said, Lord, for 12 years I've had this issue of blood and I believed that you could heal me, but because I'm unclean and defiled, I couldn't sort of just come straight out. And that's why I came up behind you. But let me tell you, the moment I touched the hem of your garment, I was immediately healed. What a testimony. Imagine the people listening, they go, wow. Who gets the glory? The Lord Jesus. He gets the glory. He gets the honour. And she gives that public testimony. And the Lord didn't do that just to embarrass her. You say, why does that? Look at the next verse. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Imagine that. Daughter. Sounds like in all this she's become part of the family of God. Amen. Daughter. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. That's how you get saved, isn't it? By grace through faith. And we're then what? Made whole. We're made whole. Go in peace. Imagine, we couldn't even imagine, I'm sure, for 12 years she's tried everything. She's spent all the money and all the doctors done and made things worse. And now the Lord says to her, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith is made. Go in peace. You won't have any problem with that issue anymore. It's all healed. What a blessing that must have been for her. Amazing what the Lord can do, amen? Not to embarrass her, but to further bless and encourage her. And then in verse 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Oh, bad news. Bad news. Now it's interesting, when you look in Matthew chapter 9, and this is an example where people can try, and we've mentioned this before, people say, see, there's a difference between them. Well, there is a difference in a sense. Remember, these are eyewitness accounts of the story. In verse 18, Matthew 9, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. So didn't he come and say she needs healing, she's sick? Yeah, he did. But then the message came back from his house, she's dead. So now he comes back to the Lord again. Remember, there's been a whole lot happening. he comes and presents himself to the Lord again and said, Lord, I need to tell you, she's dead. I've just had news from home, she's dead. But could you come and lay your hand upon her so that she can live? Could you still come? Would that be all right? That's a challenge for him, isn't it? He could have easily said, oh, well, that's it. If only he had come. If only that woman hadn't have gotten a road. He might have got there in time. Whatever he could have thought. But what did he think? He said, no, if you still come, you'll be able to cause her to live. Took a little more faith now, didn't it? Before, she needs healing. I don't know about you, but healing seems easier than raising the dead. So in that sense, this interruption has caused him to increase his faith or his sureness that the Lord can do something. And sometimes interruptions are for that reason. We're going to give up and toss in the towel, say, no, Lord, you've said, I believe you can do it. And then, well, so that's fine. That's why I allowed that. So it'll help you grow a little bit better. Help you grow a bit more in the Lord. And so what does the Lord say back there in Luke? Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master, verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, she should be made whole. So that's okay, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid, because you can imagine. Don't fear. Yeah, but now she's dead. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. How often do we have problems with fears about different things? Fear, what if this happens? What if that happens? What? Don't be fearful. We're dealing with the one who knows all things and is all powerful. He's able to take care of the situation. Don't be fear. What? Believe only. Just keep trusting what you've asked me to do, and I've told you I'm going to do it, so just keep trusting me. Yeah, but she's dead. That's okay. That's okay. Just keep trusting. Well, verse 51, and when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Interesting, isn't it? Here's the crowd there. They're mocking and scoffing. Come on, what are you talking about? She's asleep. She's not. She's dead. She says, okay, we'll draw the line here. Peter, James, John, Jairus and your wife, come into the house with me. The rest of you, get out. You want to mock and scoff, be in unbelief, out. You're not coming in. Get out. So that's a bit harsh. Well, if they want to carry on like fools, then God will treat them like fools, amen. You want to carry on like that, God says, okay, get out. Get out. You have an opportunity here which you'll probably never have again, and you don't want to see it, see you later. Out. Out. Peter, James, John, come on. Parents, let's go in. You know, three times Peter, James and John had special insights, didn't they? This was one of them. You think of another one, Mount of Transfiguration. Who's up there? Peter, James and John. And what did they see? They saw the glory of the Lord shining forth brighter than the noonday sun. What a privilege. And then later on in the garden, there's Peter, John and James. So they were kind of very much blessed of the Lord. But the Lord said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And so, again, we need to understand that term, don't we, in the Scriptures? Because when it comes to Lazarus later on, we find out, what did he say about Lazarus? Behold, he sleepeth. Oh, if he's asleep, Lord, that's okay, not a problem. Well, so let me be a little plainer. He's dead. He's dead. So what's he talking about? When you die, your body goes to sleep, if I can use that term. Because when he talks about believers in the Scriptures, and when they die, he uses the term sleep. You think about it in 1 Thessalonians, especially when he's talking about the rapture. I don't want you to be ignorant about those which are asleep in Jesus. For them which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him, etc., etc. So he keeps referring to the believers who have died. But he uses the term sleep, doesn't he? Why? Because their body's in the ground. Now, in this case, Jairus' daughter, her body wasn't in the ground, but she was dead in that sense. She was asleep. And that's the term that the Lord uses. But they're laughing and mocking. Ha! She's dead. Well, I said, okay. Okay, verse 54, and he put them all out, took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. I'd imagine I would have loved to have seen some of these things. What a privilege it would have been there for Peter, James and John, and of course the parents as well, but to be standing there, the Lord says, everybody out, 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 out. Right, close the door. Then he walks over. Takes her by the hand and says, Maid, arise. Imagine that. Imagine that. I mean, how would you be if you were Peter, James and John watching? I wonder what the Lord's going to do now. He's put everybody out. I wonder what he's going to do. Maid, arise. Simple enough. And her spirit came again and she arose straightway. Amazing, isn't it? It's no wonder when the Lord talks about, you know, the time when the rapture, you'll hear the voice of God, archangel and the trump, and gone. Immediately, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, boo, see you later, we're out of here. That's the same thing. It happens immediately, straight away. And her spirit came again and she arose straightway and he commanded to give her meat. He said, now, can you give her something to eat? Give her something to eat. She needs a little bit of sustenance. She hasn't been well. Now give her some food. Very practical, isn't it? Just give her some food. Now you say, why didn't the Lord just fix all that? Because the Lord does what he does and we then have to do what we have to do. It's like Lazarus, isn't it? We'll get there one day, Lord willing. Lazarus, come forth. And out he comes with the grave clothes on him. Lord, why don't you just take them off him? No, no. You can do that. You can't speak and get him out of the grave, but you can take the grave clothes off and help him get cleaned up a bit. So you do that part. I'll do my part. I'll do the impossible, humanly speaking, and then you do your part. How often do we find that? In our Christian life, there are some things we cannot do. Well, God can take care of that if we're trusting him. But he says, by the way, you've got your part to play in this as well. You do your part. You give us something to eat. You do this, and then it'll be all good. Well, imagine. Imagine. Well, what happens there? What does the Bible say there in verse 56? And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. I wonder when it says they were astonished. I wonder whether that was the astonishment of unbelief, as it were, or just the amazement of, wow. How simple was that? Maid, arise. Now, Lord, we believed you could do it, but now we've seen it. You know, sometimes you see that, you've prayed, and the answer comes, and you go, wow. Well, I believed you could do it, but wow, this is wonderful. Thank you, Lord, how you've provided. Thank you how you've blessed. This is not the surprise of unbelief. This is the surprise of, wow, isn't the Lord good and how good is he? And so then he says, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. You say, no, why not? Well, imagine, here's a 12-year-old girl. She doesn't need to be badgered and pushed around by everybody around town. I think the Lord maybe had her in mind when he said, listen, you don't need to go around and tell everybody about it. They'll hear anyway. But I think he was thinking more about her. Yeah, see, the Lord's very mindful, isn't he, about the needs we have and how to take care of us. And I think that was part of the reason why, if not the whole reason why, he said she doesn't need the pressure that could be put upon her by the crowds. She doesn't need that. Just be thankful. It's a blessing, isn't it, when you see what the Lord does and see how he's so careful, how he deals with his people and those who come to him. It's a wonderful, wonderful testimony. But I wonder how many people you and I know who are like that woman. They've tried everything. They just need the Lord. I think we all know some people like that, amen? So let's, by God's grace, try at least to introduce them to the Lord. But I've tried it. You know, you've heard me talk of a man who's, I haven't spoken for a little while on the phone, but he says, I've tried everything. I've been baptized, you know, 3 times or something. And I've spoken in tongues and I've done all this and I've done all that and I've prayed and I've prayed. Yeah, well, you've done everything religiously, but you haven't done what the Bible says. That's the problem. Now, not everybody wants to listen when you tell them that. I understand that as well. But the answer for that man is not more religion. The answer for that man is Christ, and he alone can heal that man, spiritually speaking. I wonder how many like it. They just need the Lord. And maybe this week the Lord may give us someone like that, maybe a maniac or maybe a woman like that who's tried everything. Life's just not working out. So I want to tell you something. Here's a way you could have your problems sorted, you know. If you come to the Lord, he'll forgive you and he'll be able to say to you, daughter, you're one of mine now. Just be of good comfort. The faith you've shown has made you whole. You can be in peace from now on, amen. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus and the wonderful things that he did whilst here on earth. And Lord, although we never had the privilege of physically seeing these things, Lord, we can relate to the parents who were astonished at what the Lord Jesus had done for their daughter and for them. Lord, how gracious, how loving, and yet how powerful. All power belongs to you. We're thankful for that. Lord, there was a bit of an interruption along the way and the daughter died, but that was no problem for you. Same in our lives. Lord, maybe we sometimes hit a bump in the road and think, what's going on? Lord, that's okay. You know about it. You know the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And Lord, you're well able to work it out. And Lord, there are those today around us, Lord, who are like that woman. They've tried everything and life's a mess. What they need is to hear the gospel that they might be healed, they might be saved. Lord, help us, Lord, this week ahead to consider these thoughts, to go, Lord, not in unbelief, but we might not be like the centurion. Just speak. We might not even be like Jairus. Just come and lay your hands on him. Whatever it is, Lord, we might only have that faith which is a grain of mustard seed. That's enough, as long as it's in you, as long as we trust you. Lord, help us this week to put our faith and trust in you and look to you, Lord, to take us through life's way. And we give you thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.